You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I just hate that I don't even have to try to get hangovers this day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. Wow, I'm Allison Haislip.
And I'm an opera singer. My name is Maud Garrett. And for the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to be sipping some booze and spitting some news.
And of course, we're going to do it. With Tom, White Wine Mandango.
Hello.
Krajewski.
Hi.
Ladies.
Miller Lite.
Krajewski. It's good to see you guys again.
Maud and I are classy bitches with some Merlot.
Yeah.
Wait. We're crushing it.
Drink out a nice.
Drink a little.
Ooh.
I'm drinking out of a Mountain Dew glass.
That's how we
know.
Oh,
I'm sorry, but it's Mountain Dew Black Label, so I am a classy bitch.
Mountain Dew or do not. Stuff. There is no try.
There is no try. Guys, nice. Listen. Guess what I finally did?
What did you did?
Three orcs.
Shit.
Whoa.
I mean, listen, hey. I would be talking about that too.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I
missed you.
This is sort of the same. I finally saw Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Finally. And my God, it's utterly delightful.
Isn't it cool?
I have a few things I need to bring up. Ooh. I know this is so after the fact and so not current.
At least we don't have to give a spoiler warning.
No, exactly.
What's your thoughts?
Well, first off, I'm realizing that Marvel's definitely going to have the problem of how do we have these superheroes deal with increasingly more significant world-ending events and not pull in
all the
35
Avengers.
Other superheroes that they know. Like, they made references to of a few people that couldn't be around, but I was like, fucking Ant-Man couldn't even show up for this?
Didn't they try to explain that away in the movie? I forget.
Yeah, they explained away, but like Captain Marvel and like just not everyone.
It wasn't
effective. That's because of the post-credit scene. It wasn't Nick Fury.
Okay, that was one of the things I was going to bring up. Yeah. I thought that was the absolute worst post-credit scene I've ever seen.
I also had a problem with
because
it.
Because I was like, we're talking about the one where you find out that Nick Fury and Agent What's-Her-Face...
Agent.
I never remember. Poor Colby Smothers. She shows up in all these movies, and I'm like, who are you again?
Girl, female,
say
shield.
It. Use your voice.
Just say it, Aristotle. Agent
Hill?
What's her first name?
Why
it's the most generic fucking name ever.
What's her first name?
Maria Hill. Oh my God, poor Colby
Smothers. It's a name that doesn't stick.
No.
Yeah, not at all. But
no
like,
Sergeant
it's a hard
Fury.
Name to climb.
But so we find out that they're actually wow. That was
good.
That was loud. I feel like we should avoid banging on the table like that.
Even
when Maud makes an amazing pun.
Hey.
I was mocking it.
But we find out that they were actually Skrull the whole time. And it was Ben...
Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn.
God, who's
that's
just
a cool name.
One of the best fucking actors on this planet.
Isn't he great?
But so, to me, I was like, well, wait. Why? Not that I don't love Ben Mendelsohn or that Skrull character, but it takes away... any of the importance it had where we thought they might actually get killed in this movie.
It contains the query that you had, which was why don't they just call up any of the 35 heroes? They don't do it because they don't know them. They don't have
their
detail.
But they clearly had easy access to Nick Fury in his vacation ship. So why couldn't they just be like, yo, dude, we need a couple more... We need a couple more of your dudes.
This one,
you know,
spider
like,
dude camp.
If you're babysitting and the kid, you know, has a boo-boo, you don't call up the parent being like, hey, this is what happened.
Yeah, but when
you find a Band-Aid.
When you're threatened with the end of the world, like these elementals were apparently supposed to do.
Yeah.
I think you make that phone call.
Are you applying logic?
I am.
I know.
That's my number one fault is applying logic to anything. But I mean, Tom Holland, of course, charming as hell.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when this movie came out, I got a lot of texts from friends who were like, my boyfriend, Andy, people are constantly like, he's got a Jake Gyllenhaal thing going on. And in this movie, everyone was like, I totally see.
It's the hair.
It's the hair, but
he's
Jake Gyllenhaal has this like fully coiffed beard.
Boyfriend.
And that's what Andy says. You love
his hair. I do, but his hair.
But I always have to preface, I go, well, the biggest difference are that Jake Gyllenhaal has blue eyes or light blue or like light green eyes.
I never really paid attention.
And Andy, my boyfriend, has brown. But also, Andy's a solid 6 to 7 inches shorter.
By the way, Andy's also like jacked and like showing me pictures.
But he's also,
which I'm like,
6 to 7 inches shorter.
Still, but he has like Jake's body. That's what I'm saying. They're still jacked.
I mean, I've never seen Jake's body, but if Jake has Andy's body, then Jake's doing well.
I've seen Jake in some movies.
Jake Gyllenhaal's doing the Hollywood man thing, though. He's 38 and he's dating a 23-year-old.
Who's he dating?
A model. A 23-year-old model.
I mean, come on.
Wouldn't you? I get it.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I don't know.
Wanted him to be like a little bit better.
Less Leo. I mean, I thought that was Leo's thing, and we all
kind of
go.
Well, you know, I kind of feel like he might pull the George Clooney thing, where it's like he'll just date young women, young beautiful women, and then all of a sudden meet his like his equal, perfect. Like someone who's like light years above and beyond, and been like, oh my God, I can get you. You know? yeah. I know. I also really liked that Mysterio, his character, was just a regular dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it wasn't anyone with actual superpowers.
The whole plot behind that was pretty kind of smart. I like how they tied it into.
The real Mysterio is frightening.
Oh, really?
So scary. Well, he's kind of like an older dude. The fishbowl thing is accurate. But he's able to project images into your mind. So you, like, you know, that scene that they had in Far From Home.
Yeah.
That's what he's able to do. But instead of using technology, he can literally manipulate people's. And there's, I feel like we've seen a few of these heroes like that.
Like Doctor Strange can do that. Or the people Doctor Strange was fighting
and
can do like that kind of crap.
I feel like an X-Man has been able to do that.
Like, yeah, like Xavier and Dark Phoenix. And
Segway!
This is going to be good,
It
people.
Is three orgasms in a row. It is. No, this was, I need to kick this the fuck out of bed. On my flight home from New York earlier this week, I was like looking at the movies that I could watch on my flight, and I narrowed it down to two. Aladdin, which I've heard is delightful, but I didn't choose that one. I chose X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Is that bad?
It's horrendous. I was offended at how bad. And I fucking love the X-Men. Yeah. And I thought Sophie Turner's the perfect choice to be Jean Grey. Like, the casting's all right. I just don't know what the fuck they were thinking with this movie.
Well, they had to change the last third of it because it was like pretty much a copy print of what Captain Marvel was.
Oh, was it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
So they're like back to the drawing board and they had to redo the last third of the whole train.
Oh, interesting.
That train sequence fight wasn't in the original movie.
I will be honest, that train sequence fight was kind of cool.
I agree. Yeah. I think it was the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
I'm like,
probably.
Don't change the last third. Change all of it, man.
Yeah, make it all that movie.
Yeah.
No. My God. But I was just like, when the character... Like, all of a sudden, Professor X is just making really dumb decisions.
Yeah.
I was like, what? The poor James McAvoy acting his fucking face off and just given the worst things to do with his character. Got to do a shout out to Nicholas Hoult. Man, if that movie wasn't so fucking terrible, I'd be like, you could win awards for this.
Really?
He was so good as Beast.
In his four lines of dialogue.
Right, but he cried. He had stakes. Like, it was all there. Spoiler alert, they could not have telegraphed the death of Mystique more if they tried. If they had put up a big blinking sign that is Mystique will die in this scene.
Sheesh. I kind of wanted to see the movie, even though it's bad, but thanks.
Has her Han Solo moment where it's like she's so resentful of the character. She absolutely can't stand playing it. She signed a contract that she, in the middle of it, won a Golden Globe and I think an Oscar. And she was just like, I can't believe I still have to play this naked nude blue girl.
Right.
My
naked
career
nude,
she's naked nude.
Naked nude.
And so she just fucking phoned it in. And I think it was Days of Future Past where they centered the storyline around her, or was it the one before that?
No, Days of Future Past is around.
It was the Mystique movie, and it's like Mystique was never a main X-Men character ever.
Right.
The best version and representation we got of her was Rebecca Romijn's Mystique alongside.
She was awesome.
So for that. Her going out in a blaze of glory.
I mean,
being the most amazing, heartfelt, only understanding woman out there.
But also, it's like, Mystique's an asshole half the time. And
she's supposed to be.
Yes.
She's supposed to be. And now all of a sudden, she's the best person in the world.
I mean, there's literally a moment where Beast is about to tase Jean Grey.
All right.
And Professor X is like, no, let Mystique take her moment or something. He literally has a line that's like, don't end this now. Let's let Mystique do her thing. And you're like, well, now she's going to fucking die. Like, it's so dumb.
Mystique's whole essence is that she's deceptive. She right. has deceptive powers. It is not an offensive power. It is a defensive power. And what it is that she becomes the most important person for that scenario. And she can transform into that, whether it's to have an eye scan, whether it's right. to be a politician. And in this instance, why the fuck did she not turn into Cyclops?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And my mouth is full.
Or,
but yes.
or Logan. Or someone who she looks up to and loves. Or fucking Magneto. But she didn't. It was just her. No. And she's just like a girl-to-girl moment. And you're like, yeah. that's not you, man.
We're family. That's what we are. We're family. Go fuck yourself, Mystique. You're a lone wolf. What are you doing?
I would have vomited on her before I killed her.
Oh, my
she
God.
She would have made me sick.
Oh, my God. It was so... I mean...
Vent.
Also, Jessica Chastain, who... I always have mixed feelings on her. I see her sometimes and I'm like, she's a fucking genius. And I see her sometimes and I'm like, who told you to read lines like that, you know? And in this movie, she's literally playing an alien who's incapable of having emotions. So yeah. she's just supposed to be
or
like...
Or eyebrows.
She's just supposed to be like... basically a robot, and she somehow isn't even good at that.
Being a stiff robot?
But I don't think it's her fault, is my point. I think it's just the way they wrote this character makes no fucking sense. All of it, I'm just like, oh,
I think
God.
The worst part as well is it's the end of a trilogy, and so this is like supposed to be the closure, but it's so centric
around
one.
Is it the end of...
Like
is it
the new class...
But new class had...
Whatever the newer
right. Well, there
age.
Was Apocalypse. Wasn't
that
Apocalypse
was
the last one that came
yeah,
out?
That was not a very good movie.
No, it wasn't.
The last couple have not been great.
I know. Like,
and they're holding on because they don't want to, they want to get these movies out before the merger where it's Disney owned.
Right.
And so they're like just shoving movies out and I'm like, but they're not good.
They're not good. It actually has made, like, I don't want to see another X-Men movie anytime soon. And I, like, X-Men were my fucking thing
yeah.
growing up.
Quicksilver had one part in this again. Quicksilver's the best character. And I interviewed the cast for that and I was like, what would your verdict, because this is centric around Phoenix, Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
If this movie was centric around your character, what would this movie have been?
Right.
And he was just like, I'd like to talk to my dad. It was revealed that his dad's
no
Magneto.
Well,
oh my God, you're right!
They revealed that like
they
two
never,
movies ago, though, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, but they never interact. Yeah.
Nope.
That
and
would
I
be an amazing
say,
story.
So this is interesting, and this is a little like inside baseball that I'm about to get into. Oh. I have a friend who, God, this probably needs to be remained nameless because I don't know if I'm supposed to share this information. But I have a buddy who worked on, he was a producer on the first movie that Quicksilver came into.
Oh, cool, yeah. So.
And the thing with the Quicksilver character is that it is so, so heavily dependent on editing. It is not an easy character to just write lines for. Like, all the other characters can have, like, normal conversations.
Right.
With him, you can't have a long-term normal conversation because all of a sudden his character isn't there. His character, like, his appeal is all of those. It breaks down into slow motion and you see his, like, personality come out then. But that is so editing heavy.
Oh, jeez.
That it's probably really difficult
to sustain a whole movie
yeah. around it.
So he just has 3 minutes of power in
I know.
Each film.
And you're like, and it's always the best and coolest part of the movie. And then you're like, well, fuck. Yeah. Anyway, you saw a movie this week, didn't you, Maud?
Sure did. I went to the Zombieland Double Tap movie premiere.
How is that? I'm excited for that.
So the last movie came out a decade ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Shit.
Yeah.
Has it been? You're right. Yeah. I was at G4. I think I did the junket for that movie. Or
nuts.
No. I don't know if I did, but I remember seeing it when I was at G4. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been 10 years remotely.
No.
But it kind of takes place 10 years after the actual events. And so like the whole place is run down and it's very post-apocalyptic now. And it's really, really funny.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Same director, right? It's still Ruben Fleischer. Right?
Is that the guy who did Venom?
Yeah.
Yep.
Ruben Fleischer. I think he did
that's
the original.
Him. Yeah, this is a lot
that's
of fun.
Great. Is it?
It feels very sequel-esque. Not much happens. They go from A to B.
Yeah.
But it's a real fun time the whole time.
Great.
I love Woody Harrelson. He's
so
amazing.
It gets the Maude Garrett stamp of approval.
Yeah, I liked it. Zoe Dutch is the standout. She plays this bimbo.
Oh, yeah.
She's done a bunch of things. Her mom's actually a famous celebrity actress as well.
I was going to say I know her name, but I can't. What has she been in?
She was in the rom-com that came out on Netflix with a guy called Glenn.
Powell.
Yes.
I know Glenn.
Glenn.
That's so fun. Yeah. Like, Glenn moved to LA and he became friends with a buddy of mine. And so it was like he had just moved out here. And then he got a small role in Dark Knight Rises?
Wait.
Oh. See, one
wait,
the,
what's
like,
the one that came out after Heath Ledger's Joker? Was that Dark Knight Rises? Yes.
Yeah.
So he's one. He's on like when they bust into Wall Street and like tear up the Wall Street floor. He's like one of the guys in there.
Cool.
And we were all like, yeah, Glenn, like got a solid scene. And then he like blew the fuck up. And it's just like, oh, Glenn's going to be an astronaut in this movie. And Glenn's going to be the lead of this Netflix movie. We're like, okay, bye, Glenn. You know?
Yeah. He's crushing it at the moment.
Yeah.
He only got that popular and famous because of you guys behind him, Alex.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that credit.
What's the movie called, though? With Zoe and Glenn.
I know what you're
talking
about.
It's like they're both assistants to these big powerhouses.
Yes.
And they figure that they both, their bosses need to get laid because they're so grumpy.
Whoa.
Right.
And so they set them up. The setup.
You got there.
Yay.
You got there.
But Zombieland, really fun. Set it up. My bad.
Set it up. The setup would have been a better title.
Yeah. Where was Hollywood on my door?
I know, seriously.
They're not on my door.
I just latched. Sorry, now I just put food in my mouth. Talk for 2 seconds while I finish this, and then I'll get back to my devotion.
Zombieland, double tap, very, very funny.
Okay, I saw Joker. Did you see Joker?
I did.
Ew, thoughts?
I haven't seen it
I
yet,
think
so
Maude
don't
by her face me. Has thoughts, and I have thoughts. And Maude doesn't look happy. You don't have to say anything.
I expressed my thoughts online, and everyone that follows me had a really productive, amazing, constructive conversation about it.
Was that exactly what happened?
But unfortunately, it spread, and the people that don't follow me came at me in droves.
Oh God!
I'm sorry, yes.
I mean, I mute people that don't follow me, and I just like, what's going on? Because people are going like, wow, these responses are fucking gnarly. And I was like, all right. So I unmuted it, and it was like, oh my God, a barrage of just putricity.
That's why I don't post anything online ever. That's why I'm usually
ever.
I feel that, I mean, I know it's not necessarily a DC movie. It doesn't open up with the DC credits at all.
Oh, that's
oh really?
Right. I forgot
but
about
it just
that,
doesn't really feel like an authentic, it's an influenced Joker film. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is like a realm of, in the realm of possibility.
I see.
And I think that with, you know, 75, 80 years of backstory and lore
right.
and comics and iterations, that for me, seeing this version, I think it's doing a disservice to DC, but it's helping like tell another story. It's just not necessarily a DC story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yes. I think even Todd Phillips is like, this is not your Joker, your typical Joker. So
no, I actually would prefer it to just have been like a standalone movie.
Like it didn't need to be the Joker. No. It could have just been about a guy.
Yeah.
It should have been just called the Deranged or the Beaten Down.
Because they kind of asked you to sympathize with him. And I want to sympathize with the Joker becoming a mass murderer. But I understand why
it
comes that way, but it's like, no.
I feel like that's always what makes the Joker so interesting, though, is that there does, as opposed to like other Batman villains who are just like, I'm a penguin, you know, like that kind of shit. Like the Joker has
that's
always
justified. Like, no wonder he's fucking shitty at the world.
Well,
he's got three fingers.
Yeah. And he's only 4 foot two or whatever. But like,
and he's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, I interviewed him and he tugged at heartstrings and I will die.
I
sorry
love
for that,
Danny DeVito. I'm kidding.
But like, Jokers always come with some sort of tragic backstory that makes you, there's a part of you inside that makes you go, ooh, like
he's usually been a mastermind, a manipulative mastermind.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the story with him and Harley, she was his psychotherapist,
right?
You know, like she was supposed to help him, and he fucked with her so hard mentally that something in her clicked, and then she became Harley Quinn. And I just think that he's so brilliant. Mm. And in this whole movie, there's a revolt and an uprising, and he causes it. Accidentally, whereas the actual Joker,
as
in any other circumstance, he would have known every button,
every step of the way,
totally
thread to unravel, to create and harness.
I think I'm seeing it tomorrow night. So
this beautiful snowball of chaos.
Yes,
but in this instance,
ooh, beautiful snowball of chaos.
Our and poet.
In this instance, he's they're
That's
like
a great
oh,
name for an album.
You, maybe Mariana's Trench can have it.
Yay!
Oh, episode without mentioning Mariana's Trench.
They just released a new music video, and it just involves all puppies, and it's amazing.
Someone mentioned Mariana's Trench non-ironically.
Oh.
I said I lived in Australia, and they're like, oh, is that like did you grow up near the Barrier Reef or somewhere around there's the Mariana's Trench? And I was like, whose vagina?
Yeah, who? Also, is it? I thought the Mariana's Trench was in like South America. Am I
Maybe
crazy?
This person is geologically confused.
Yes.
It's a condition.
Okay, we're going to take a really quick break, but then when we come back, I have to, you mentioned something about being in the zombie apocalypse 10 years later, and I have to make a comment about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So, the new season of Walking Dead just premiered.
What, with our buddy.
What number?
With
Ross Marquand. This involves
show him. Favorite, show fan.
Show favorite. I show like favorite. Making him a show favorite. Yeah. This is season 10?
Stop it.
Ridiculous.
I think. So, I went to go watch the season premiere, and then it's like, previously on The Walking Dead. And I'm watching, and I'm like, yeah, what? Wait, that happened? Huh? And then I paused it and I went back through my DVR and I was like, I just didn't watch the last three episodes from last season. Oh, yeah. Don't know how that happened.
You've still watched all other 9 3/4?
Yeah. So here's my love-hate relationship with The Walking Dead.
I've never seen one full episode.
Really? Wow.
So it starts off fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking show.
Right.
And then it takes a dip, but then it comes right back up and you're like, okay.
Negan.
Yeah, no, we're not even close to Negan yet.
Got it.
And then it takes another dip, and it hangs in this dip for a while. And in that dip, I was like, why do I still watch this show? And then it started to do a slight turn up, and then Ross got on the show. And I was friends with Ross, and I was like, well, now I'm going to keep watching the show because my buddy's on it. And I'm glad I did, because the show has actually picked up quite a bit. So that is how I've actually continued my watch of Walking Dead. But clearly, I don't know what happened last season when I just forgot to watch the last three episodes. So I go back
Ross
and I watch.
Ross is a babe.
Ross? You've met Ross. Have you not met Ross?
Have I not met Ross?
You will, because he usually comes on Drunksmas.
He does. He will, if he's in town, he'll be on Drunksmas.
Never said a word.
Great.
He's also he's also in the Avengers movies.
Yeah, he's Red Skull.
If you forgot.
Yeah. You went to Avengers with him.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Anyway, during these last three episodes of last season, so I guess spoiler alert if you're not there yet, but if you are up to date, then you are.
You're good.
The three different, the good guys are now split amongst four different communities at this point. Alexandria, Hilltop, Oceanside, and I'm forgetting one. But anyway,
which one's the best one in your opinion?
Ooh.
Because I'd like to be at Oceanside.
Yeah. No, I think
nice.
Oceanside.
Beach views.
Yeah, it totally is.
Boardwalks.
Yeah.
You know.
There's no boardwalks.
You don't know if it's
sunbathing topless zombies.
You sort of feel like Moana's going to pop out of the water the way they shoot it. It's like the Oceanside's fucking gorgeous and the rest is like in the apocalypse.
Yeah. You don't know if it's like, you know, the nice swell of the ocean just kind of going, or if it's just zombies, maybe.
Right? You don't know,
but it's just ambient.
But so the point of the last season was sort of like bringing back some sort of democracy or government or some sort of mod.
Sorry,
you can't stop mod.
Now I just really want you to be a zombie in something.
That's the least scariest zombie I've ever.
You know, like whale noises,
yeah,
but zombie noises, yeah.
Yeah. So they decide to come up with this contract, basically this like thing that looks like the Declaration of Independence, this huge scroll thing that they all have to sign, and they go to sign it
and the zombie comes out.
This is my point. This is now 10 years into the zombie apocalypse, and one of these motherfuckers pulls out a fucking Sharpie and that's what they sign this thing with. And I went, time out, I will believe the zombie apocalypse has hit. I will believe all of the fucking bullshit you have put me through for 9 seasons now. But you want me to believe that a decade later, a Sharpie still fucking works?
Didn't dry out?
No.
10 years?
If the lid's on.
Really?
If it's on and probably kept in, I'm going to say, a humid environment.
I would give it maybe 4 to 5 years. But a decade?
I'm going to test this theory.
I literally texted it to Ross. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, that's the thing that bugs you about this show? And I was like, I'll believe anything. Just don't make me. Like, in my head, they could have pulled out like a piece of charcoal that they made into like a pencil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a fucking Sharpie? I was like, no.
You're really, really.
I was pissed. Listen, clearly this is my soapbox episode. I don't know why.
Hey, yeah. Zombie apocalypse strikes. What do you do? What's your role in the group?
Oh, in the group? Or like, what do you just do
in
first?
In the group.
Oh, man.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. This was always a first date question and scenario that I would go through on the date to see how it would go.
Explain.
Because I spent too much time on it. And for a chunk of that time, maybe even 5 to 6 years, I had to come to the realization that I'm not the cook. I'm not great with blood, so I wouldn't be the medic. I don't have great combat skills. I'm not very fast, so I wouldn't be the scout. I can't hide. I'm too long. So I was like, fuck, I'm the bait. I'm the decoy.
Oh, you'd be a great decoy.
No, but when the time strikes to save the group, and do the distraction and I get taken to save everyone else.
Note to self, get Maude in our group of survivors when the zombie apocalypse.
But then once we lose her, we gotta go.
We'll use podcast.
Oh, podcast.
His hair looks tasty.
But then I realized
raspberry blue.
No, I feel like Aristotle's gonna be the guy who
he's gonna win. He's gonna do.
No,
he has
the weird special skills that you didn't know were gonna come useful.
He just crafted a gun out of three scraps on the ground.
No,
he doesn't want to talk.
I think
Podgaiba.
While there's still gasoline available, I'm the getaway driver.
So that's what I actually changed my mind on. For the first 6 years, I was like, fuck, I'm the decoy. And then I was like, oh my God, no, I'm the getaway. Like, I'm good in a car. Reverse park like a beast.
Yep.
I'm fast. I take corners fast.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll run them over.
No problem plowing them down.
I would love for you to be the driver in their post.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a horrible driver.
You're definitely like a tank. You're like a, you bludgeon shit.
You a sharpshooter?
No,
I've never held a gun.
I can do archery. So. I grew up doing that. So I could do the, archery? I could do the thing with the dude. What's his name?
Norman Reedus. What is his name? What's his name?
It's Crossbow.
Dale?
His name is Crossbow Joe.
Dale? Is that his name on the show? What the fuck's his name on the show?
Daryl.
Oh, close enough.
Dale's like the alternate universe.
I have watched every single episode, can't remember his name. That's another thing that I always tell Ross about when I'm recapping. I'm like, so the girl who's pregnant with the other guy's baby and the guy who used to be a priest, but now he's like, how do you not know these characters' names? I'm like, I don't know. There's 8,000 people on this show. I know Negan and Michonne. I'm pretty solid with those. And Carol. What's Ross's name? Aaron. His character's name is Aaron. Good. I got
Aaron.
Ross. Yeah.
Aaron.
Double A-R.
There's two A's in that
one.
Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron. Aaron.
Oh, you guys, we've been doing this entire episode with a giant box in front of us that we haven't opened yet.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
How about, since we can open a few things throughout the next few episodes, this looks like there's a lot
of stuff.
Is there
multiple
things?
Tom,
I'll check
do the look. Honors. Take
I will,
a look,
you guys
Tom.
Talk, and I'll pull things out.
Well, I'm excited. Someone sent us a giant box.
Just wait a moment while I pull this out.
It's also labeled fragile, so wow.
Be gentle.
As Tom just destroys it. What's going to happen in here?
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, there's a letter on top. Why don't you give us the letter first? Geez. Oh, my gosh. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Tom just digs in when there's blatantly a letter on top.
When I see presents, I avoid the cards.
Here we go.
I don't even write cards anymore.
This is from Bill.
Bill.
It says, hello, HHHHLN crew.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, Maude.
Yay.
I love that that's written into the letter.
Fantastic.
I didn't realize what I was getting myself into when I offered to send you some North Carolina beer until I tried to choose what to send. Oh, I just got excited, Bill. Guys.
Fuck yes!
Bill!
Apparently, we have over 300 microbreweries and brew pubs in the state.
Mm.
So,
I might have to move there.
I will probably just randomly send some more time to time. Awesome.
Oh, what a shame. That's
I already
terrible.
Know one I want to pack up next time I am in Asheville. The Foothills Pumpkin Ale. I'm guessing that's what's in here.
Oh man, I'm not American. That's someone else's.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want a pumpkin ale?
America and your obsession with pumpkins is something
weird.
That I can never adjust
it's weird.
To.
It's the only one I sent multiples of because it is the only Oktoberfest fall pumpkin beer that I really like.
Is that gonna? Am I
oh
going
my
to
God,
be like Harry Potter?
All of these bottles are individually bubble wrapped.
Yeah. Oh my God,
is this going to be like pumpkin juice? Am I at the Great Table?
Maybe. I have also sent some local chocolate. There's chocolate!
I'm going to need that now.
And Moravian, not Bavarian, cookies. Ooh. There's cookies? Moravians settled the area around me in 1753, so there is a lot of their food and culture around here. But I digress. I hope you enjoy all of it, and if you have any favorites, let me know, and I can try to send some for Drunksmiths. Oh, my God, Drunksmiths. A bill
chocolate?
Is enclosed. Is that the bill?
No.
That's a photo?
This
That's
is
a picture
photo.
Of the family.
Oh, also a
bill
Courtney?
Is enclosed, because it's Bill.
Oh, and I think that might be a photo of Courtney and our daughters.
And yes, I 100% included a family, a picture of my family solely so I could make that joke. Oh, Abilis included also a Courtney and her daughters. Got it.
Yeah, I got it. Abilis included. God.
Yeah. Thanks for all the entertainment. Bill.
Thank you for all the beer.
Wait, what is this, the chocolate?
He sent
ginger spice cookie thins?
And drinking chocolate, Black Mountain
drinking chocolate. That's hot chocolate.
Oh, jeez. He sent a ton of stuff. Look at this.
Oh, my gosh.
Blowing Rock Brewing. It's
Whoa.
Called Blowing Rock.
Maud, what did you do? You broke something.
Nah, right. I just flipped the lid off with really the excitement.
There's just so much.
More cookies. This is
more
awesome.
More cookies.
Imagine driving to work.
Here's the chocolate.
Chocolate!
I want a chocolate. Oh, my God.
Bill,
crystallized ginger with bold and spicy chilies on goat milk chocolate.
What the actual
Wow.
Bill's now a legend on the show for sending us so much beer. Pink Velvet Raspberry Wheat Ale.
Raspberry Wheat?
Oh, my gosh.
Ha ha, I said weed.
All right, this has to go in the fridge for next time when we record.
Jeez.
Is it what cookies did you open?
A lemon cookie.
Oh, I love lemon cookies. What's this, more chocolate?
More chocolate.
Mountain milk and cocoa nibs.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I opened. Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
And chocolate stout. 4042 chocolate stout. I wish I could.
Where is he again?
He's North Carolina.
Wow, they love their beer.
Carolina, chocolates.
Oh,
What kind of chocolates are those? Here, I open up the ginger one.
This is like Drunksmith's preview.
Yeah, man.
Unless you guys already said
here,
that.
You guys want to try some ginger chocolate? Ginger chocolate?
Yes, please.
Ginger chocolate? All right,
I've
you're
also
vegan.
Got
you can't have this.
Brasstown Ecuador Esmeralda, 75%, and the Venezuelan Garace.
Oh, my God. Ginger chocolate, you guys. This is so good.
Really good.
This is so good.
I hope everyone's into ASMR because we are just eating into these microphones.
We really are. We really, really. There's another beer.
Sycamore Mountain.
Oh, we had that one.
We did.
Isn't that? Oh, the can looks familiar, but maybe it's a different kind.
That looks familiar for sure.
Yeah. This is amazing. Bill, thank you. You spoil us.
I'm actually quite interested. Aristotle, when was the last time you had chocolate?
Aristotle.
So, for our listeners who don't know, our podcast is vegan. And so he can't have chocolate. Can you have dark chocolate? No, that still has a bit of... You've had vegan chocolate. Okay.
Do you remember the taste of chocolate?
Oh.
Do you remember the taste of chocolate? Do you remember the taste of chocolate?
Do you miss it? Horrible.
The only things you miss... Are Tommy's? What are Tommy's?
Burgers.
Oh, yeah. Tommy's Burgers. I thought you were talking about type of chocolate.
I thought you were talking about me.
Yeah.
Philippe's French Dip
downtown. Oh,
the original French Dip sandwich.
Wait, how long have you been vegan? 8 years? Wow.
Jeez.
I don't know if I've done anything for 8 years. Shit.
Alone.
You've shit for 8 years.
I've shit for... As a choice. I don't think there's a choice I've made that I've continued for 8 years. You know what
I mean? Your journal? Full.
Continued for 8 years.
Yeah, I'm on 3.5 with that right now.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Guys, we crushed it.
I'll have a little bit more wine.
Since we just opened this box, should we do a quick story and then?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We'll do.
I'm gonna figure out how to unwrap this bottle that's in all bubble wrap.
Okay, talking about posting on social media, Maud, and getting people all yelling at you for
all riled up.
I do think it's quite fascinating, though, that it was irrelevant what I said. Really, it was people in waves and droves being possessively defensive of this movie.
Possessively defensive.
I can get that. Because it's a movie that
I think
prior to even coming out caused
a bit of stir.
Yeah, to a point where people felt like they had to take sides. You know, so I understand people wanting to sort of
stick
to that side.
But I also can't stand
side.
It where it's like, you know, if someone doesn't like the movie, they're wrong and should be insulted
assaulted. Listen, that's the problem with people get upset about that crap all the time. It's like, oh my God, it's entertainment, it's art. You're supposed to have an opinion about it. It's not supposed to be for everyone.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway.
Anywho, on
what
that
did you,
note,
what did you bring up, Tom?
What I'm saying is, hold on, I gotta ring it back up again because I turned my phone off. Okay, here we go. Listen to this, girls.
Yes.
Be careful what you post. I know that's all right.
Obvious.
Police in Tokyo, Japan, have arrested a man for allegedly stalking a woman.
Oh.
After he tracked her down using the reflections in her own selfies.
Maud
has a horrifying... All right, listen to this, guys.
The things you don't want to have to think about.
Yeah. 26-year-old man was charged with all sorts of crimes after the alleged assault.
All sorts of crimes.
And the case has sparked discussion in Japan about the risks of fame in today's digital age.
Wow.
Which it seems almost anything is possible.
Mon's having a fucking conniption over there.
As per CBS News, the suspect told authorities he determined his victim's location by poring through photos and selfies of the woman and analyzing the scenery reflected in her eyes.
Jesus.
In her eyes?
The victim...
It's not even in like her glasses.
The victim was 21-year-old member of a pop group. The pop group is Tenshi Tsukunukeni Yorni. With a combination of the scenery he pieced together from her selfies and Google Street View, he was able to work out where she lived.
This person has far too much time on their hands.
Yeah, he would enlarge the photos, and he first found out which train station she was commuting from and which landmarks she was passing by on the way from her home to the train station.
Wow.
And then triangulated these landmarks on Google Street View and was able to determine which station he was riding from, according to police. They arrested him, so that's a good thing. But, like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's the stuff you'd see in movies, like zoom in on someone.
What happened to her
eyeball.
To get arrested? They didn't just arrest him because he goes, hey, I figured this out. This is pretty shit.
They said he assaulted, he attacked her.
See?
Jesus Christ.
But, so you say it's a good thing that he got arrested, but
it's a horrible thing that he attacked her, obviously, yeah, but I mean, so that's just a scary,
that's
like,
insane.
You know, that's the stuff you can do with, like, high-res photos and, like,
yeah,
all the tools online.
One of the channels that I worked for, they'd done a vlog series where they did a, you know, like, they sped up the transit. So they did it in a fast forward motion to get to the destination. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've even got it on phones where you just do like slow-mo and then when it plays back in normal, it's like, it speeds it all up.
Yeah.
Someone reversed that video, found, because they obviously knew where the destination they were going.
Right.
And when they played it back, were able to find out the location of the studios where the offices were.
Oh, fuck.
What? See? Yeah.
So you guys know I do this job for Kelly Blue Book called Ride News Now that I've been doing for a couple months now.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of you doing this job, by the way.
Thanks. I am too.
I've bought so many of the whatever you're selling on that.
I don't think I'm selling anything. I'm just telling you guys about mobility news.
I'm just trying to give you confidence.
But it's honestly like a delightful job. Like the production crew that I work with are so fun and I love these guys. But they're talking about doing a cross-country drive in the all-electric new Audi that's come out.
Are we all going?
I'm honestly pushing to be a part of this. But one of the things that I did not realize that they have to take into consideration is that people with these electric cars and like the records that they can break are really obsessive. So like Tesla, I think now currently, one of the Teslas owns the record for the fastest cross-country drive. Oh. But you have to plot in charging stations, right?
It's kind of
so
boring.
What they're talking about, what my team's talking about, is when they do this drive, they want to be able to post about it because they like want the buzz and everything, but they have to make sure they're not posting about what route they're on because these people are so psychotic about a certain car holding the record that they will go to the charging stations and plug in cars so that this car can't charge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Could they just bring like a backup, you know, truck with a generator in it to charge
I mean, maybe,
the car,
but I don't.
Just in case, I'm just saying, like, you know, to deal with that kind of.
I guess
sabotage.
I don't know, but I was like, that's something
that's
what
crazy.
I've never thought of, that people would go out of their way.
What the fuck is people?
That's what I mean.
Need
like,
purpose.
And like, so you can't post certain things, so you can't let them know where you are.
If you are obsessive about anything, you're flirting with danger.
Yeah.
If you're obsessive over a person, stop it.
Yeah.
If you're obsessive over a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's honestly what I've always thought about the videos that I've seen of women fainting at Beatles concerts. Like, I fucking love the Beatles. And I understand that they, like, changed the face of music and they were literally, like, the first rock stars and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine being so obsessed with something that I would pass out when I saw it. And that, to me, was scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
So what we're establishing is that obsession is not new. The accessibility is making it easier.
And different, I think, as well.
Maybe then, because it's like, you know, they could only really play a record. It's not like they had could go on YouTube and look at interviews and then can inundate themselves. So it was such a few and far between.
Or just
things.
Follow Paul McCartney on Twitter and be like, oh my God, he had coffee and eggs for breakfast today.
Exactly. You know? He liked my tweet.
Yeah. Exactly. On that note, we would love for you to become obsessed with our podcast, the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies
Not too
Night.
Obsessed.
that's
not
good.
Too obsessed.
Yeah. No, I know. We got to wrap this one up.
Someone's going to take the decibels and the reverberation.
What? You can become obsessed enough to send us emails at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. And if you want to send us beers like Bill did.
Yeah,
and
be Bill.
Chocolates.
Be like Bill.
Bill. Bill, you are the perfect amount of obsessed, Bill, which is not all that much.
He's the mayor of this episode.
Yes, exactly. Mayor this Bill. Episode is dedicated to Bill.
The beer baron Bill, we'll call him.
Please follow us in a polite, calm,
respectful way. Not to this train station.
On Twitter, Half Hour Happy HR. Please subscribe to us on whatever you want to listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,
Spotify,
all that good shit. Tune in. But don't let your Tesla block another car from charging just because you don't want it to break your record. You know what? And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour at Ladies Night.
Ladies Night.
I'm Allison Haislip.
I'm Maud Garin.
And with us, as always, was Tom.
Be like Bill.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
That's some good parting words.
Be like
Bill. I want more beer.
Star Bands Audio. A podcast network.